Yet another iteration is on tap for today. Behind the Beard, WNC is back in action. A podcast where four guys get together. We banter about any number of subjects, but it's always gravitating toward football, and we do it for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained, too, but if you're not, then obviously there's other stuff out there to watch or listen to or both. Gentlemen, it was a wild weekend of football. I went up to Burnsville today on my route for calling on my practitioners, and I asked my office that I called on up there, what happened on Friday night? And I would have expected to have seen just basic depression and things on fire up there, but not so much.
Really?
Yeah. Mountain Heritage and the Swain game.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm glad you had boots on the ground, because I would have thought it would have been the opposite. I mean, they were. I heard comments like, if he does that enough, that's not going to work up there.
The question is, I mean, what's his name? Cason Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he get hurt?
I have no idea. I have no idea what happened with that game at all.
We don't have many folks reporting to us up in Mount Heritage.
Is that the ones that called us crazy?
No. That was Mitchell.
That was Mitchell.
To back up just a little bit, when Pat says iteration, it really rolls off his tongue a lot better than it does when I say it.
Iteration.
Yeah.
What's wrong? You don't like the word iteration?
I love it. They were making fun of me last week for using it.
I told. Obviously, you didn't listen.
No, I did. I'm halfway through it. You made fun of him for using it and saying it was the biggest word he'd ever said.
Correct.
Yes. Which may be true.
Might be.
Unless you're a Mary Poppins fan and you were singing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious when you were a kid. That might have been the biggest word.
Maybe
you a Mary Poppins guy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Love Mary.
Should we let everybody know about the Hallmark banner that happened in the group chat this
that
week?
That was good.
Oh, man. You know the thing about this podcast, guys?
What?
It's often duplicated but never replicated.
Indeed.
And also, we do cover more than two games, which is huge.
And we're all a bunch of bloviating windbags.
Pat always brings us back.
The majority of us actually go 500 in our picks, unlike some other publications.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Or me.
We're going to talk about our picks. We work great this week. We use the spread. The ACT does not use the spread. They were 1-7 and 2-6.
Wow.
Not good.
Yeah, that's not it. We do use the spreads.
Even Pat can pick better than that.
Which is saying something, because I apparently can't pick anything other than my nose, it seems like, this season.
No. Exciting. I mean, Friday night, we're sitting there. It's like just some things. You know, we talk about it each week. And it's like, once you think, the slate, you kind of get a feeling for exactly what's going to happen. And then once the updates start rolling in, it's like, what? And then we get shocked. Same thing happens Saturday in college football. And then Sunday comes. It's just football is such a beautiful, and that's why you play the game.
Yeah, you know, you think that your team's going to cover. You're watching. It's like, all right, they're covering. And then all of a sudden, late touchdown, other team. And it's like, dang it.
North Henderson was listening.
Yeah.
I mean, just that that took me from an 8-2 week to a 7-3 week. But that's why you play the game on Friday nights. That's why you play.
That's why you do it.
I mean, it's just, I get texts throughout the week, and it's like, there's no chance you pick this team to cover. And I'm like, guys, that's a lot of points. Yeah. And then I usually don't go back and do the I told you so's, because the next week anything could happen. y'all know me. But no, what an exciting time. And we got week four we'll talk about what happened Friday night. Lewis, you been up to anything?
Just sports. Football game Friday, youth league game Saturday, nice. Hanging out Sunday. Awesome. Now here we are.
Dude, I heard through a little birdie that our most distinguished, he's here sitting in a tie, he did yard work this weekend.
I did. I would like to hear about this?
I would like to know, how are you feeling, and is that report true?
It is, in fact, true, and I almost died. So that's let's get into that a little bit. I needed to trim some of those big trees there in the back behind my house, and I have this old tree pruning set that my father had that I think was made in the 1960s. So I assembled this apparatus and got underneath a limb or two and started sawing away. And, well, you know what happens? Gravity tends to take over in that situation, and I might have been a little too close to a tree limb coming down. So But fortunately, I jumped because I'm so agile and so athletic. I mean, I made it look like pirouette dancing out there. I just got right out of the way. It was fantastic.
What I would do for the for
Mary Pole, can you please send us that video?
For those blink cameras?
Yeah.
What I would do for that footage.
Indeed. It's been deleted. So it's gone for good.
Pat and I went to dinner Saturday night. So I go to meet him at his house because that's the only way I know he won't be late, if so I pick him up. So I get there. And,
nice.
He's grumpy and he can't get out of, he's like sore. He's struggling to get out of the chair. I'm like, are you all right? I did yard work today and I'm not real happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's like, and I have to do it tomorrow.
Yes.
Well,
the other thing we did is, you know, we have a, just a complete train wreck going on in my backyard with erosion and shaded spots and dead things. And so I had to put down a whole bunch of grass seed and some straw, and Mary's doing her green thumb thing, getting the grass seedlings to grow.
Nice.
Tell you what, that's awesome.
Carson, what about you this weekend? I know the Bears look pretty good on defense Sunday.
Yeah, just tough being a Bears fan. I will say
it's not great being a Dolphins fan either.
Or
not
a Redskins fan.
49ers
won. I didn't think that everything the Bears had wrong with them would be fixed 2 weeks in. So I'm not going to jump ship on Ben Johnson yet. Caleb, I'm very close on. but no, it's... I just absorbed a lot of football. I'm trying to think of what else. I went to a wedding Saturday night. That was great time.
Congratulations. I thought you were already married.
No.
Mormon?
No. Attended a wedding. It was very nice to not be in a wedding and just go there and show up 10 minutes before the ceremony starting. Then make yourself very familiar with the bartenders at an open bar, and then
were you and Todd like wedding crashing this thing?
No,
trying to hook up.
No, this was Whitney, and then Bird was a hoot and a holler.
Okay,
so I mean,
I imagine
you guys could imagine. Yeah. Shout out to Birdman, but no, great time. And then Sunday watched a whole bunch of
Hallmark.
No, Hallmark. It is almost very close to Hallmark season.
It's close.
So very close.
So let's talk a little bit about our picks last week. We touched on it a little bit. Carson, 7-3.
Yeah, I was seeing the board.
Lewis.
Were you? Is that what that was? You were seeing the board, were you?
Lewis, 5-5. Pat and I, we mailed it in at 4-6. Yeah. I'm not even sure that Carson wrote my picks down right.
No, he did.
It's all right.
So for the year, Lewis has still got a lead, 25-15. Carson, 24-16. I'm 22-18, and Pat. 18 and 22?
Clearly. That's subpar.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to it.
I should just get a dartboard and bring it over here.
I think you should.
And then anytime you ask me who's going to win the game, I'm just going to throw it.
But then you couldn't pick Reynolds.
I'll still pick Reynolds. I mean, come on.
Good news, Rocket Nation.
Yes.
I'll be calling a football game over there not long from now.
Indeed. I guess that's going to happen. We'll see.
Ooh. He already committed. Now he's not committing on the podcast.
I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be on an anniversary trip.
All right. So first game of the week, East Henderson traveled to Franklin. Guys, the spread was 46.5. Three of us take East because we figure, you know, 46.5, 59-0.
That's ouch.
Indeed.
Lewis got this one right.
Yes, I was hoping that there was a chance East would cover without scoring a point. Now, that was kind of like that 40. We talked about it with the running clock starting at 35.5.
Yep.
Or is it just 35?
35.
Yeah, 35.
There's no half points in the real game.
I've got spreads so built in my head. But no, that was, and that game happened, Mike, Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah.
So Mike sends a text of the first, he goes, 7-0 Franklin. I was like, holy smokes, we got a game tonight. And it turns out they're playing at Western.
Yep.
So.
So listen to these stats. East Henderson was 0-8 passing, and they had 7 rushers who combined for 56 yards, 1.8 yards per carry. Not fantastic.
That's not good numbers.
Franklin, quarterback Terrell, 7-9, 100 yards and a touchdown. Running back Garrett Young, 7 carries, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Whew. East Henderson, not good.
Were you guys aware of the open enrollment in Hendersonville?
No. Yeah, I've talked about it a bunch.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Sometimes we hear it's true. Some people say it's not true.
I heard it's definitely true.
Because you have to choose well before high school.
Right. But you still get to choose.
Yeah. I think we asked the Hendersonville coach, and then I don't know if we talked to, if when you guys talked to the West Henderson coach.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's when I taught over
there.
He
was clear as mud on it.
Yeah. when I was, I mean, and you can list the athletes, but I'm, from my understanding, it was you can pick whichever middle school you go into. Mm-hmm. And then once you pick that middle school, you can go to that high school.
Yeah. But
I don't, things could have changed. I was also 5, 6 years
Nobody
ago.
Picking East Henderson.
Nope.
So next up, North Henderson traveled to Tuscola. Tuscola, the underdog at home, getting 4.5. Tuscola comes away with the win, 38-26. Guys, surprised with this one.
I mean,
I really thought North, they had the close game with Hendersonville. I thought they were primed, ready to beat Tuscola. I thought Tuscola was struggling. Well, guess what? North Henderson's now 2-2. Tuscola's 3-1. For North Henderson, Aiden Berry, the quarterback, was 9-19 for 143, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He also rushed it 11 times for 28 yards and 2 touchdowns. Parker Willis, Carson, he had 200 yards at halftime. Ended up 34 carries, 281 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 34 carries. That's a ton.
Yeah.
For Tuscola, Jet Bartley was 11 of 19 with 2 touchdowns, 13 carries for 57 yards. Running back Sam Trantham, 15 carries, 98 yards. Junior athlete Ty Walker had 10 carries for 44 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 catches for 48 yards and a touchdown, 14 tackles, an interception, and a fumble. I'm guessing he played quite a bit.
Yes.
And I think the surprising thing about that is if you would have just told me the North Henderson's running back stat line, then we would have, I think we all would have been like, yeah, this is the, this is kind of, I think Mike talked about it last week when we were doing the preview. You know, that running game, they're going to have the ball. They're going to be able to control a lot of the clock. And it just did not go that way.
North Henderson, 3 turnovers in the first half.
Ooh.
Ouch. Hard to overcome that.
Carson and Lewis got this one correct.
Of course we did.
You'll be hearing a lot of that.
Wow.
So next up, Pisgah at Smoky Mountain. Pisgah, 16.5-point favorite. I'm sorry. Yeah. Pisgah was a 16.5-point favorite. We all rode the Pisgah train. Smoky covers. Pisgah wins 29-14. Only one person got this right.
That would be me.
Pat got a little grief on the Facebook.
I did, Miss Susan. I did appreciate your comment. And yes, the Bears won, and I knew they were. I just didn't think they were going to cover the spread. And that's exactly how it played out. So call it what you will, but I'm brilliant.
Of course, Pisgah, the most physical team in the universe. Mahaffey, 10 of 13, 180 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Landon Pope is always a good game. 24 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Mason Putnam, 6 catches, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Smoky Mountain, no stats.
They covered, so they were a great team, unfortunately.
They were a great team. Yeah,
they were a great team.
So next up, West Henderson traveled to the Valley to play Owen. Owen getting 32.5 here. West Henderson gets the win, 37-15, not able to cover. Carson, Pat, Lewis get this one right. We have a clip from this one if you want to play the Owen clip.
I have total confidence in this defense that they will not allow 32.5 points to be put up. So I'm definitely going to pick Owen.
Well, you think they score 32, just not the half?
I think this is like a 22.
He said 22-18.
22-18, indeed.
Well.
They'd give up
more points.
They did, but we did cover.
So for West Henderson, Cade Young had a fantastic game, 14 of 16 through the air for 218 yards and 3 touchdowns. Zane McGraw, 13 carries, 158 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also had 3 catches for 31 yards and a touchdown. No stats for Owen. So,
what you got, Lewis?
You got anything? You want to give us a rundown on the game?
I can tell you one thing. Wes Henderson definitely took advantage of their off week and watched a little film. Right from the beginning of the game, whatever we were lined up in, the coach, I was running the chains. The coaches were like, oh, it's going to this guy right here. So they did a great job on that.
So their coaches had prepared them?
Yeah.
Were you texting the coaches over there and telling them they knew?
I would never do that.
Okay.
But no, they prepared for the game quite well, and you could see it. We went into halftime, and then after halftime, you know, it got a lot easier for us. So some good adjustments by Faircloth at halftime. We battled back, made the cover.
Well, the thing is Owen was great Friday night. I know it wasn't the exact result that you would have wanted, but they were great in my
eyes. I mean,
speaking
to everybody expected the defense to play better. We just didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still overcame that. You know, and covered.
Yeah.
So, So it was a good game.
Owen now 2-2, West 2-1. Next up, a little bit of a shocker. Irwin traveled to Hendersonville. Hendersonville, a 10.5-point favorite. Well, Irwin gets the win, 34-33.
Outright.
That's a close one.
Outright.
And an exciting overtime finish.
Yes.
I'd love to get that film from Rodney.
So for Irwin, quarterback Caden Engel, 24 for 40 through the air, 173 yards and a touchdown. Also had 7 carries for 31 yards and 2 touchdowns. There were 4 rushers for Irwin, and they only rushed for 93 combined. Wide receiver Jackson Davis, 6 catches, 79 yards and a touchdown. For Hendersonville, quarterback Jerron Ward, 16 of 30, 209 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Running back Jordan Buford, 19 carries, 112 yards and a touchdown. And Amir Albany, 9 catches, 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. Irwin gets their first win of the year.
Yes, they do.
I don't think any of us expected when the season started that this would be Irwin's first win.
No, definitely not. We thought they were going to win the MAC.
They still may.
They may.
From here on out, Irwin may have turned the corner here.
I really hope so. They've figured out how to win without
Lawson Reynolds.
Pat's
favorite Irwin player.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think maybe some voodoo was going on in the Pole residence? Like, you can't have that last name and play for Irwin?
Well, could have been.
I have no idea what you all are talking.
Carson Lewis and Mike got this one correct.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, Irwin kind of had a lead, kind of had a commanding lead there. And so talk about the adversity this team's been through. And Hendersonville did not quit. You know, they came back. Mike talked about going into overtime. And then I believe it was a blocked extra point.
Blocked extra point
is what.
Hendersonville scores to tie it, or, you know.
Yeah.
And Irwin blocks the extra point.
Do you think there's any thought of, I mean, obviously hindsight's always 20/20, but was there any conversations before the extra point of let's go for 2 and get the win?
Well, Hendersonville's at home, so you go for the tie at home. You go for the win on the road.
Correct.
That's what everybody says.
We've talked about that before because I think it was Reynolds had an overtime game, right?
Not this week,
but Maiden scored.
Yeah, like earlier in the year.
Earlier in the year, like last week. 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Did they? Was that an overtime game?
Or it was like last
end of regulation.
Yeah. Regulation kind of.
But we talked about going at home. Yeah, so I don't know. But big things. That's a humongous win for morale and everything that Irwin's are obviously been through. And I think that what that did is that kind of put everybody back where it's like, okay, Irwin, you know, can't just look them over because on any given night, you know, they could have enough. Because Hendersonville, we've talked about it numerous times, they put West in the woodshed. So,
yeah.
So it's just crazy how 1 week's time, you know, how much can change. So exciting stuff for the Irwin guys though. Happy for them.
I mean, with these veteran coaches that are around still currently, especially like someone like Rodney who I mean, he's dedicated his life to the game and all this, just like Shane Laws and all them. You expect this rebound from those guys, right? Like it does take a couple weeks to regroup. But hey, we're going to figure this thing out and put our dogs out there, you know?
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah, and I think that's why our most trusted advisor with the Derek Dirty Dozen, I think he called the Irwin. He said Irwin's going to win
Derek texted us. Carson and I told him he was crazy. We're like, I don't know that Irwin wins another game till they play, you know, Inca or North Buncombe. He's like, no, they're going to win this week against Hendersonville. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
And he was right.
Yep.
He's way smarter than I am. So next up.
That bar is not high.
Thanks, man. Cherokee at Inca. This was a pick'em game, and Inca gets the win 27-19.
J-E-T-S, baby. Jets.
Jets. Exactly
where Pat chose to take his lineage from.
Indeed.
So we have a couple clips from the Inca game. Can you play Inca 1? I'm going to take Inca to get the win, Lewis.
I love that pick. I'm going to definitely go on Cherokee.
The laugh there says it all.
Love it.
Can you replicate that laugh for me?
I cannot.
All right. Play Inca 2.
Inca doesn't have it. I'm sorry. There is no heart at Inca whatsoever.
That was bulletin board material right there.
Indeed.
Inca gets the
win.
Wow.
They had just enough heart to beat them.
Yeah.
So, whatever that heart is, no, they definitely won.
So for Inca quarterback, Logan Trantham, 14 of 19, 202 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He threw to 8 different receivers. Running back William Parham, 14 carries, 136 yards, and 3 touchdowns. for Cherokee quarterback Dawson Panther, 10 of 19. This kid's only a sophomore. He's only going to get better. 207 yards, a touchdown, interception. Unfortunately, they only ran for 54 yards as a team.
That's so, not going to get it done.
Inca gets the win.
Do you think that Inca now has a poster of Lewis in the locker room with lots of darts in it?
Do you think, you know, like Shane made a copy and sent it to him? Coach Laws, I mean?
I hope so.
Indeed.
I hope I motivate those fellas to do a better job.
So
they got to win, so something's working.
That's what I'm saying.
Big win for Inca.
Yeah, huge
good for Inca.
Win.
Good job.
A team that beat North Buncombe earlier in the year.
Cherokee beat North Buncombe.
So it makes you, I mean, that,
yeah, right?
Guys, we got some good stuff coming up.
The whole triangle effect that you're talking about, it's crazy.
It just keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis, very familiar with the triangle effect. So next up we have Brevard at North Buncombe. Brevard getting 44.5 here. Brevard gets the win, not able to cover. Brevard wins 41-14. The only person to get this one right, Carson. Brevard now 3-0. North Buncombe drops to 2-2.
Now, as I recall, when you guys were reporting in scores while we were up there in the game, Brevard and North Buncombe looked like it was very close in the first half. Is that what, am I reading that right?
14-7 Brevard at half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, 14-7. And from everything I heard, it sounded like the first half went, I mean, that if you told North Buncombe that they were going to go into halftime 14-7, I mean, I think everybody would be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
let's
heck yeah.
I talked to North Buncombe coach today, and they were super pumped that that close at half.
For sure. Yeah, you'd have to be.
And, but you know, I think they kind of took it as a moral victory. They hung in Brevard closer in the first half than Reynolds in Brevard.
Yeah.
Well, indeed.
That's not surprising.
Lewis.
Yeah. Very surprising, Lewis.
It was very surprising.
Very surprising.
Yeah, and I think from what I gather, too, it was 14-7, and they fumbled it. North Buncombe fumbled it on the 5. And they walk in to go up 21-7. So that was the first thing that happened to kind of unravel it.
Sure.
So, but no, it's one of those things where it's like, guys, they're, you know, if North Buncombe can put two halves like that together, they may have some competitive games in the conference where they've not had some competitive games in the past.
I think we can admit that the MAC is closer top to bottom this year than probably it has ever been.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
I would agree.
And
Pat agreed.
Can we agree that the conferences are a lot closer this year?
I can also agree with that. Because if you look at, what's the conference?
Mountain 8?
No, Mount Heritage and Hendersonville's conference.
What's your conference?
Western Highlands.
So the Western Highlands even. Yeah. You got both Hendersonville and Mount Heritage lost this week to inferior opponents, but they're good. Yeah, those are two good football teams. They the Mountain 8's got some good football teams. The MAC, I think Reynolds is coming to their own. Reynolds, Irwin, Asheville, they got some good football teams in that conference too.
Agreed.
Yeah, all that. I second all that. But yeah, the conferences, it's the first year in a long time that you can't be like, okay, well, you know, the best four teams in Western North Carolina are all, boom, A, B, C, and D from the MAC.
I agree.
So next up, what was blacked out on every social media site, everything, the Freedom at TC game. We could not find scores
was
on
up
this
with
game
that?
All night long.
You gave me a one-quarter update, that's all I had.
That's all I had. So Freedom wins over TC 20-14. This was a pick 'em. Freedom now 4-0.
Freedom's doing well.
Carson Lewis might get this one correct. TC led by quarterback Rod Harris. He was 19 of 32 for 198 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he rushed it 6 times for 22 yards. They only had 40 yards rushing as a team, so running the ball still a problem. Wide receiver Atkins, 4 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think I said it, Carson Lewis might got this one correct. This was a pick 'em. Freedom, another big game this week against the MAC as they take on Reynolds.
Indeed.
Indeed.
So next up, the game that this is the game I was at. Asheville School.
I loved your picture pregame, by the way. Nobody there.
It did fill in a little bit.
Yeah.
Late arriving crowd on both sides. So Asheville School at Asheville High. Asheville High was an 8.5-point underdog at home. Lewis, you want to play what I said about Asheville School? Asheville School, man. They're going to get the win here, and they're going to, at the end of the year, we're going to say Asheville School could be the MAC champs.
Ooh.
Asheville gets the win 39-21. In all honesty, Asheville School got out-coached, out-hustled, outplayed the whole nine yards.
But from what I heard, it sounded like they the only one thing they did hold their own on was the amount of trash talking that they had.
When Asheville School, I had not seen a play this year. When they rolled onto the field, I looked at Luke and said, Asheville's going to win this game. They did not have the dudes they've had the last 3 years. Not making excuses, Asheville won the game, but they're not the same team.
Yeah, but
they had no business in the top 10.
But also in that same group thread, he said Luke's got, you know, Luke thinks Asheville School passes the eye test.
They did. Well, they did on the surface, but then they had three or four that looked fantastic.
Yeah.
But the rest were subpar, unfortunately.
Sounds like it was just a track meet for Asheville's offense.
Yeah, Asheville could have put up a lot more.
Wow.
Look, Coach Radford and those guys did a great job. They got the win. Those guys are fired up and ready to go.
That's awesome.
Let me give you a little stats. For Asheville School, quarterback Jonas Howard, 14 of 25 for 199 yards and an interception, 10 carries for 45 yards. The two running backs for Asheville School, I mean, they never got going. They could not even consider running the football. Shiloh McKendy led the way, 14 carries and 55 yards. He had three touchdowns. Isaiah Wallace caught four catches for 73 yards. For Asheville High, Tay Williams was 11 of 15, 198 yards and five touchdowns. Running back Davidson, 29 carries, 176 yards. And wide receiver Jam Skies, five catches, 141 yards and three touchdowns. Combined, 180 yards of penalties.
Oh, wow. It was an undisciplined game. Do you think that because of all the trash talk?
I think so. And it was strange because 75% of the penalty flags came from the white hat.
Really?
He was calling the game from the top. And I'm not sure how experienced everybody else was. I know the back judge, very experienced. It was Reggie, the one that runs.
Oh, yeah, Reggie.
Runs. If you guys have been to a high school game, you've seen that referee that runs to the side. They had Reggie in the back there. But the white hat threw all the flags.
Maybe he felt like he had to take control.
Maybe so. But yeah. Asheville dominated every facet of this game.
Wow.
Indeed.
Your boys won, Carson.
I mean, I'm pumped for them. That was awesome. Derek called it a must-win game, and you know, for the public school rides and stuff like that.
Asheville School set private school football back 10 years.
Yeah. I think the...
And I don't think the 14-year streak is now in jeopardy.
Wow.
Oh,
that's
really?
A statement.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's a change.
28-20. No. Mike, we're going to need to clip that next week.
Okay. Well, it'll be 2 weeks. Yeah. But yeah.
It's interesting, though, because it's like this same team that you just watched on Friday night, it's like, how did they beat a team with 94 players?
I don't know, man. But they only had about maybe 30 players.
Yeah.
You know, that's private school smaller, usually, unless you're... You know, Providence Day,
yeah, for sure.
Raven Gap. Anyway, the last game we're gonna talk about. Murphy traveled to Reynolds to play the Rockets.
Go Rockets!
The Rockets a 10.5-point favorite, and I want to apologize right now. Mistake on the pick sheet showed Reynolds as the underdog, but they were the favorite by 10.5.
Yes, that's on me. I'm sorry. I'll be better.
The Rockets win 34-14. Carson, Pat, and Mike got this one right. We got a couple clips from this game, Lewis. If you want to play them.
Ask them how much they really want to play football. And ACR just doesn't have it. They're not a tough enough team. They don't have the grit. They're faking an injury. They're doing all this stuff to put in a quarterback that doesn't fit the system. I cannot wait for Murphy to win outright this game.
Didn't happen.
Can you play ACR too?
They will not.
I hope you clip all this. Reynolds makes a statement this Friday.
The only statement they're making this week is how they're not ready for this season.
Reynolds won 34-14.
Yes, indeed.
They did.
Wow.
Quarterback Colton Reimer, 12 of 22, 193 yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Running back Jaden Smith, eight carries for 40 yards. They rushed it up as a team, 125 total yards. Wide receiver Caden Ray, six catches, 142 yards, and two touchdowns. The Rockets recovered five fumbles and two interceptions. That's seven turnovers. Seven.
Yep.
You think of Murphy as being a disciplined team, but seven turnovers, Pat? Talk us through the game.
Yeah, this was definitely a tale of two halves for sure. I obviously did not talk to Coach Laws or any of the staff about this afterwards, but I can't imagine. I know they're thrilled to have gotten the win and get out of there with the win the way they did at the end, but I think they probably would have, you know, liked to have a little bit more balance because in the first half, I mean, it really did not look good for Reynolds at all. Murphy was, you know, able to drive it down there, and then the Rockets had trouble with the snap on a punt and then some blocking up front, that kind of thing.
It was 14-0 early, right?
It was. So the couple of big things that happened in the first half, there was an opportunity for Reynolds to punt, and the ball sailed over the punter's head, and he had to fall on it at the one, which allowed Murphy just to come up and just punch it right in to get that go up by 14.
You just scared Carson when you punched your hand.
Indeed. Well, you know, I have force. You know, it's a lot of violence.
Go ahead. I get it.
But anyway, at that point, if I'm remembering correctly, Chris pointed out on the broadcast that Murphy was winning, yet they already had three turnovers in the game at that point. Now, there's that, y'all can fill this term in for me if you would, but we talked a little bit about it on the broadcast. Travis and Chris and I were where you have the last 4 minutes of the half and then the first 4 minutes of the second half. You're trying to win that 8 minutes, right? So Murphy's driving, and they're trying to do that. They're up 14. I think it's 14-7 at that point. Memory serves, or maybe it was 14-0. I can't remember. Anyway. They're winning, and they're across the 50-yard line, and it looks like they're going to be able to drive in there and put another touchdown on the board, and they're getting it right down there on the far side of the field. I think it was down there about the 5-yard line. Looks like he's going to punch his way in there, and Zion Akeem rips the ball out of the runner's hands, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see him streaking up the sideline, on the far sideline, going the other way. And, I mean, that changed the whole tenor of the game because they went into the halftime, and then they came out a different team on the other side. Now, one of the other things was, and the Murphy broadcast team didn't even notice this, but Chris noticed when we were coming out of halftime that there was a player on the Murphy side that was on the cart.
Cam Clem.
Cam Clem, that was it. And
their leading running back.
Yeah, he is an excellent running back, by the way. He was on the cart over there, and Murphy's broadcast team didn't even know what the story was with it, but he did not come back in the game in the second half. In fact, Chris, I think he noticed that the young man left in a personal car in order to go get some attention. And then I think later Chris or Travis was able to extract from them that apparently he's been having some trouble with his ankles or an ankle or something like that. But I never did hear what happened to him. I just know he didn't come back in. And Murphy was not the same team without him in there in the second half. And also Reynolds did what Reynolds does, is they make adjustments at halftime. And they came out and were able to, you know, plug a lot of holes and fix some things up. One of the things I noticed, and this may have been due to an injury, I'm not sure, but when we were reading the starting lineups, there was actually a freshman that came in on the offensive line to be the center. And Green was the center last week, and he was at guard. And, you know, obviously they were having trouble with things because at some point in the first half, Travis noted that that Green had moved back out or moved to back to center, and there was a new player back in at the guard spot. So I don't know if it was an injury situation or what that prompted that change, but anyway, they're still sorting that stuff out on the offensive line for sure. But great win for the Rockets. They've obviously got great athletes. Tyvon Patterson-Davis looks great. And then you obviously got Keeter, and you've got Jaden Davis running the ball very well. Obviously talented athletes. So Reynolds makes up in that regard for any shortcomings they may be having up front with some serious athleticism. And they've got Klepper back. Ethan Klepper came back, and you know, you expected to see him just tight end show. And it, actually, he played a great game, but it was on defense. I mean, he just chased that quarterback all over the place, and he made a presence known for sure on defense. So great win for the Rockets. I was glad to see that happen. I think it gives them a ton of momentum going in against Freedom.
Hey, Pat, do you know what the adjustments were at halftime? What they seen? Could you guys tell from the booth?
That Ben don't break defense certainly came to play. And then Mike already brought it up, all the turnovers. I mean, how many total was it? Seven.
And I mean, just,
the Reynolds had at least three. I don't know if he had any fumbles. But
yeah, Reynolds, I think,
turnovers.
Had three.
Oh, my goodness.
Peyton Ray has been a huge, huge pickup for Reynolds this
big
year.
Big time. Yeah, he demonstrated it as well.
I saw a video of him catching a long touchdown pass, which it was just a swing pass, but it was a long run. And
gone.
Gone.
Yeah. When did he go down? Didn't you say he went down?
No. Caden Ray?
I thought you said that somebody was on the sideline, didn't return.
Oh, that was Clem for Cam Murphy.
Clem for Murphy.
Yeah. 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 No, I think Caden Ray's fine.
He's like their stud running back, right?
Yeah. No, the only one I noticed that got injured on the Reynolds side was the linebacker, Kai Smith, early in the game, got his ankle or shin or something messed up. And I'm not sure if he made it back in the game or not. So I have no idea what happened. That was the only real injury that I can recall seeing from the game on the Reynolds side. But
Reynolds,
hopefully he's fine. I have
Reynolds
no idea.
Gets a win. They're back to being Reynolds.
Yeah. I think it gives them a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum going into that Freedom game and into the MAC for that matter.
If I was Freedom, I would definitely have a guy run out there with his face painted and say, "Follow me to freedom." I mean, right? Right? What movie is that?
William Wallace, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah, all of us know that, yeah.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
That's what I would do. Carson's awesome. Never seen the movie.
No, I haven't.
It's because it came out before he was born.
Carson, leave right now and watch the movie, dude.
I'm 30 this year, guys.
I get my 30th wedding anniversary this year. And that's before your birthday, I think.
So let's talk about the player of the week. Carson, who do you have for the player of the week?
So player of the week, there was a lot of great people with big games.
We kicked around a few names.
We did. Asheville quarterback with a huge game. Wes Henderson's quarterback with a huge game. You've got Tuscola. North Henderson. We ended up going with Tuscola's Ty Walker. He had 10 carries, 44 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 catches, 48 yards, 1 touchdown, 14 tackles, 1 interception, and 1 fumble recovery. So
all around impact player.
Sounds like, and they were underdogs. Didn't expect him to win. What a game he had, both sides of the football. So shout out to Ty Walker. What a performance. I'd imagine he was probably sore Monday or Sunday morning. I
think he hit the
Saturday.
Ice bath.
Yeah, ice bath Saturday morning for sure.
Well, let's talk about a couple polls.
What?
Yeah.
How many of my family you want to talk about?
Charlie.
No.
Who's that?
That's my daughter.
Wait, you have a daughter?
I do.
All right. First, we'll talk about the 828. Just came out, the 828 rankings, top 12. They cover a little bigger area than we do. East Rutherford 10 at 12. Asheville at 11. Mount Heritage drops all the way to 10. Swain, 9. Franklin, 8. Murphy, 7. Maiden, 6. Reynolds, 5. Freedom at 4. So we got a 4-5 matchup this week. Hickory at 3. Brevard at 2. And, of course, Watauga at number 1.
Wow.
Wow.
Watauga coming to Buncombe County this week as well. Carson, you want to lay the Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10 on us?
Yeah, the Dirty Dozen. This is the people's poll. I mean, this is the most trusted.
It's probably the most informed.
Most informed, for sure.
I mean, Derek probably knows football better than 99.9% of the listeners.
So there was one team that dropped out. Can anybody guess who that team was before I get going? Yeah. Mike, you know.
Yeah.
Can Lewis
that
or Pat?
Dropped out.
That dropped out of the 10. They got replaced.
Probably East Henderson.
Oh, do you think they were in the top 10?
Top 10 in Western North Carolina. I'm going to go with Asheville School.
Asheville School.
So number 10, he's got previously unranked the Mountaineers of Tuscola, and they jumped into the power rankings for the first time in 2025. A big game from the offense leads Waynesville's finest to a win. The defensive concerns, it concerns Derek for this squad, giving up over 250 yards of rushing to one player Friday night. This does not bode well for the remainder of league play in a run-heavy league. Can they hang on to their spot in the rankings for week 5? Number 9, Pat's favorite, you've got Pisgah. The physicality return in week 4.
How is this my favorite?
Just the most physical.
They're the most physical team in all the world.
He loves physicality.
Yeah, so the Bears handled
especially
Smokey,
in the back of a van.
Oh, God.
Jump to the 9 spot. Franklin, business as usual for the Panthers against a very bad East Henderson team. Do the Panthers have enough firepower to knock off the league favorite in Brevard? The Stars could align in week 5 for a potential upset here to shake up the Mountain 8 early in the season. Number 7.
That would be big.
That would be huge. Number 7, the voters have overvalued West's win over Irwin in week 1 in the past rankings, but no longer. The Lawson Reynolds injury was a huge blow in the first quarter of that game, and the Warriors were scrambling to adjust. Were they to play again this week, the voters believe that Irwin wins that game. West defeats a depleted Owen squad 37-15, but drops to due to the performance of the MAC teams in week four.
Derek could be considered a MAC homer.
What?
No, not our Derek guy. Go former ahead. Former MAC football coach.
Former
Rocket.
Yeah, former Rocket. Go ahead.
Number six, we got Hendersonville, a tough loss, but showed great resilience in coming back and forcing overtime, down 14 with 9 minutes to go.
That is huge.
Yeah, that's big. We talked about them coming back, not quitting. A couple of turnovers in the first half proved costly. They must clean those up in order to beat the better teams left on their schedule. You've got Irwin at number five, and I don't want to say it, but I told you so. And he said, but I told you so. A gritty win by the Warriors on the road Friday night. The QB duel between Caden Engel and Jerron Ward lived up to the hype, and then some. I believe you will see this trend continue for the Warriors this year of building a lead or hanging in games until the second half and then holding on for dear life down the stretch. The small roster and lack of depth will lend itself to some tired legs in the fourth quarter, so Caden Engel is going to need to continue his elite play for the Warriors to make a run at the league title. A phenomenal Wodoga team is a tall task in week five, but for now, enjoy the win. You've earned it. Number five, Reynolds. Sloppy. We got an ugly win, but a win nonetheless. The Rocket defense proves to be a strong point for the Fairview boys yet again this season. Two defensive touchdowns and numerous takeaways offset a streaky offense and sputtering special teams. The Rockets have got to clean up the turnovers and special teams mistakes going into conference play.
Did the Rockets give up any kind of special teams touchdowns this week?
I don't know. No, they did not.
Okay,
not to my not I know to my
given
memory.
Up a couple, which was
they've given
strange.
Up a couple big plays.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But you've got winning in spite of the mistakes is impressive. A clean game and a win in week five for the Rockets could spell trouble for the rest of the MAC. Number three, Asheville. Asheville reclaims the top spot amongst the MAC teams. A complete and dominant performance from the high. The public school boys reign supreme as the Cougs pound the Blues. I hope everyone cashed in their free money this week. You're welcome. A young defense bows their neck early with a goal line stand to set the tone for a great win. A well-earned bye week and is much needed for Wodoga coming in week six. You got Mount Heritage at two, and it's a good thing this is a power rating, not a poll. Yes, there is a difference. Otherwise, the Cougars would be sliding down. But the voters are shocked by the performance put together by the black and green on Friday night, but it is hard to maintain a consistent level of play for 10 weeks. I would hate to be Madison this week. Mount Heritage holds fast at number two only because no one has earned the right to take it from him yet. Another lackluster performance in week five could lead to some larger concerns in Burnsville. And then at number one, the obvious. If there was any room for debate, that was erased in week four. Brevard is a clear-cut number one. In Western North Carolina, it's not even close. A snooze-fest victory against North Buncombe, as it should have been. Conference play starts this week against the scrappy Franklin Bunch on a short week. Game is at Western on Thursday night. Upset alert. Interesting.
That is interesting. So yeah. Mount Heritage didn't drop at all, even though they lost to Swain.
No, but Derek's...
Pat and I saw Swain. They didn't look good.
No, that's what I'm wondering, because that came up in the 8-2-8 poll. I was going to bring that up. I mean, we saw Swain playing Reynolds in the Jamboree, and ACR hung 45 on him.
Swain now 3-1.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know, different squads since the Jamboree.
I don't know. And I'm wondering if there was Case and Jones' injury.
That's what I'm saying. There had to be something like that, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
So let's talk about something that it's way, way, way too early to talk about, but let's talk about it anyway.
Okay.
Let's talk about the playoffs.
Oof.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
So if the playoffs started right now, Pat, how many MAC teams do you think would make it?
Two.
Lewis?
I think there might. So here's the problem with the MAC so far. The mediocrity of the MAC, I think there might only be one. Because we have that new selection, and there's no automatic bid anymore, Pat.
No.
So I think it's going to be tough unless there's a couple teams that really start standing out, you know?
And I think that...
Because they're battling Charlotte teams. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we're not talking about deep runs. Mike just asked the question, how many get into the playoffs?
Exactly. You're still battling Charlotte teams.
You guys have forgotten what happened with the realignment and how watered down.
Yeah. So, Carson, do you know how many teams are in the MAC?
Is there six or seven?
There's six.
Six, yeah. So five.
So what if I told you that all six were in the playoffs?
If it started tomorrow,
all six.
I would say that Lewis is pumped because all six get participation trophies.
So based on RPI and the standings, all six would make the playoffs.
That's good. First of all, I'm the inverse. I'm the inverse to participation trophies.
I'm just saying, so they all get in.
Yeah, so listen to this. In my opinion, after looking at this...
Hold on, what are you backing that up with?
What do you mean? Where am I getting this stuff?
Yeah.
828, man.
Okay.
The high school overtime.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the high school overtime put out, based on RPI, which the state puts out, who would be in the playoffs.
Okay.
East and West and everything.
And that was released today.
So here's the thing with 8A. We got watered down playoffs.
For sure.
Everybody makes the playoffs.
Well, that's not true.
Well, let me give you what we got.
Like Madison might not make it.
No, they're in.
Oh, really?
One of the last five out in, hang on, let me get to it. So if they started today in 6A football, Reynolds would be a 9 seed. TC would be an 11. Asheville High would get a first round bye as an 8 seed.
Okay. So Asheville's better than Reynolds.
So...
According to the 828 or the OT or whatever he's saying.
Yeah. So if this played true, if Reynolds beat Olympic, they would play Asheville in round two. You talk about an epic football game.
Oh.
It'd be awesome. That'd be great.
If you remember the McCurry interview, smoking cigars, burning dollar bills, everybody's going to that game, right?
Yeah. In 5A, which would also include the MAC and some of the Mountain 8, let's see here. Franklin would be an 8 seed. West Henderson, a 7 seed. They would both get first-round byes. Irwin would be a 12 seed. Guys, Irwin has one win. Smoky Mountain, 17. North Henderson, 20. North Buncombe, 14 seed. Inca, 23 seed.
Inca with the playoff game. Let's go.
I mean,
let's go, dude. That's
that would
awesome.
Rock.
If you look at 4A currently... Brevard would be the 1 seed overall, which I think is fair.
Yep.
Pisgah would be the 8 seed. Tuscola, the 10. In 3A football, Mount Heritage would be the 2 seed. Hendersonville, the 7. They would both get first-round byes. Also making the playoffs, 16 seed Owen, 21 seed Madison. East Henderson was listed as one of the last 5 out.
East Henderson.
That's sad, dude. They're probably the worst team in North Carolina right now.
At least in West North Carolina?
Definitely.
They're terrible.
Okay, but hey, props to what the NCHSA has done here, because that gets all of those teams a playoff game.
Yeah.
Why is that good?
Because
more money for them.
Exactly. Let's be honest. It's about money. All these programs need the money. I love that they have a they're going to get blown out. Let's be honest.
To me, that's the drawback.
I don't love it.
It's like.
So what do you do when these? Remember last year and years before, previous teams decide to drop out. We're not playing.
Well,
we don't want to play.
I say we make that not an option.
Well,
I don't think you can do.
I don't know if you can do that. It's just tough because it's these teams like East Henderson. It's like, who would they play if they sneak in? I mean that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was that second
They just lost 50-something to zero against Franklin. 59 to zero against Franklin.
Who would they play?
I'm not sure because I don't have all of it printed out. But
yeah, I don't know.
The top 8 seeds getting a bye, I think you cut that out. You cut around, and let's just play from
there. That's a long season.
So both of us, we've talked about this before. Nobody wants to go watch a 45-0 ball game, right? So I might get on board with the cutting the first-round buyout. And getting rid of a round.
Getting rid of the 8 there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
The bottom 8. And just go from there.
Unless you go to that school. Then you want to watch a 45-0, right?
Right.
Now, if you're a player, too, if you think about it from their aspect, you get another game. I mean, I would like that.
Especially if you're a senior, dude.
Yeah, you want that extra
game. Yeah, if you're definitely a player, you want to play. You want your season to go on as long as possible.
So Friday night after the game... At the bonfire, a little conversation. some player asked Austin, like, hey, when did it sink in, like, this is your last year? You know what I'm saying? This is your last year playing. Think about if you had one more game. Everybody sitting around this table, if you had one more game, how impressive would it be?
It'd be great.
Right?
Yeah.
So I kind of get on board with that, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, football is not one of the sports that you can keep playing later in life, like tennis or golf or something.
Right.
No. You got a small window.
Unless you play flag football. Yeah. Well, it's nowhere near the same.
No. So I keep telling Brendan, I said, man, this is going to come to an end some point. You better get all you want.
You better really enjoy this time.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed.
So let's talk about this week.
Yes, let's do that, Mike.
First game, right out of the gate, we're going to go a little private school action. Christ School comes back to the picks. Christ School 3-1 after losing their first one. No stats online, but they're led by running back Jackson Cancel. They're playing at Charlotte Latin, who's 4-0. They're a 4.5 point underdog, Charlotte Latin is. They're led by quarterback. Yeah, Charlotte Latin quarterback Logan. He's 50 of 71 on the year for 175 yards a game, 14 touchdowns to only one interception. Running back Douglas, 159 yards a game and 8 touchdowns. They're scoring 51 while only giving up 8. Christ School scoring 39 a game while giving up 20. So, like I said, Charlotte Latin, a 4.5 point underdog at home. Lewis, who you taking?
You know, I think maybe Christ School, the new coach, all that, maybe they got it figured out. They lost the first game, went 3-1 since then. Historically, they have beat Charlotte Latin, so I'm going
to... I'm glad you said that. Last year, Christ School won 58-28.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go with Christ School.
Carson.
Yeah, I think the 4.5 point line screams that Charlotte Latin is a live dog here at home. I do think the game last year, Christ School, we've talked about it, how many different players. I don't know much about Christ School. I'm going to need to see it with my own eyes. So I'm going to go with Charlotte Latin covering the 4.5 points.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know much about this either. So I'm going to go homer and stick with Christ School.
I'm also going to take Charlotte Latin here with Carson. So next up, Owen, 2-2 at Polk, 2-2. Polk, a 5.5 point favorite. They have wins over Chase and Patton. They beat Patton 35-14, where Owen beat them 22-7. Their losses have been to Newton Conover and Blue Ridge, not the Parkway. They're scoring 26 a game while giving up 33. They want to run the ball first. Lorenzo Sanchez has 225 yards a game and a touchdown. Carson, is Owen going to stay within 5.5?
Usually I like Lewis to get me pumped up before I'm going to pick him. I like him to go through his spiel about how they're going to dominate every aspect of the game. I am going to go with Owen here covering the 5.5 points.
Pat.
I, too, have to stay on with the War Horses. Give me Owen.
Ooh. I think Polk wins this one by 2 touchdowns. Go ahead, Lewis.
I love that you said that. Hey, Polk does have a good running back. I love that they're a run-first team, but our team is kind of built to stop the run, so I feel like Owen's going to take this one.
These guys did not play last year, in case you're wondering.
Now, hold on a minute. Carson, you said they're going to cover the spread. Do you think Owen's going to win or lose?
Oh, there's no field goals in this game.
No, hold on a minute. Let's hear. You said they're going to cover. I mean, are they going to win
Lewis
or lose?
Lewis did catch that I said yeah. that Owen was going to cover.
He thought you were
going to
slide right by there, aren't you, Carson?
I was going to slide right by there. I'll just say that... The Owens money line will be sprinkled. Okay? I'm not saying it's a full lock. It's not one of those that I text Mike that's over in the first quarter. It's like, but no, Owen money line can be sprinkled on this one. Not great odds though, because they're a live dog here. It's sure. Probably it's plus 140.
How long does it take to get to Polk?
It takes like 48-49 minutes.
Yeah, not long.
From Black Mountain.
So next up, these two teams also did not play last year. Mitchell. 2-2 at Hendersonville, 3-1. Hendersonville, a 23.5 point favorite.
Love it.
Mitchell, they lost to Charlotte Latin, who we talked about earlier. They also lost to Robbinsville, 35-6. Their wins are against McDowell and Andrews. They are scoring 23 a game while giving up 28. Hendersonville, they're scoring 43 a game while giving up 17. Do they come in mad here, Pat? What do you think happens?
Yeah, Hendersonville's going to bounce back. They're going to get the win here. Give me Hendersonville.
And the cover.
And the
right?
cover?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I also think Hendersonville wins and covers. I don't think this one is particularly close, and I'm looking for a running clock.
So Mitchell does a great job of playing against bigger teams, but Hendersonville's got some athletes, and I feel like Mitchell struggles to cover the athletic aspect of the game, so I'm going to go with Hendersonville as well.
Well, unfortunately, you guys are not going to pick up a game on me here because I've got a Hendersonville is going to come out pissed off, and it's going to be a bad day. It's what Mike echoed, clip that. We may see a running clock in this.
I think Coach Ward's going to have these guys ready to go, and they're not taking their foot off the gas.
No.
So who are you picking?
Hendersonville by 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Cool.
So next up, West Henderson. Who knows if West Henderson's good or bad? They lose, they win, close games, not close games. They're 2-1. They have a conference matchup against Tuscola, who's 3-1, 1-0 in the conference. Last year, this game went to overtime, and West Henderson won 20-17. West Henderson scored 24 a game while giving up 25. Their one loss was a blowout loss to Hendersonville. Tuscola, they're scoring 33 a game while giving up 24. Their one lone loss was to Robbinsville. Tuscola, 3.5-point underdog at home. Guys, I'm going to think West has got this thing figured out, and I'm going to go West. Lewis.
You know, Tuscola hasn't let me down all year, and some viewers are out there just waiting for me to say it, but, I mean, they did trim the fat this year, so I'm going to go pick Tuscola in this.
Carson.
I am going to go with West Henderson. I think West Henderson is going to have too much for Tuscola, and West Henderson is going to cover the 3.5 points.
Pat.
I'm with Lewis. Let's go Tuscola.
You know you're not allowed to pick Tuscola and Pisgah. It's like against the rules.
Is it?
Yeah. They're rivals. You can't.
Well, it's a good thing that I'm a rule breaker then.
Oh,
Mike.
My gosh.
I am a rule breaker.
Never in your breaker. Life. Next up, Pisgah, 3-1, 1-0 in the conference at North Henderson. This is probably the best game in the area. North Henderson, 2-2 overall, 0-1 in the conference. This is a pick 'em. Last year, Pisgah wins this game 28-6. Pisgah scoring 29 while giving up 27. They lost to Mount Heritage big early, but have rebounded to beat Swain, Inca, and Smoky Mountain. North Henderson, they've lost 2 in a row. Their wins are against Inca and RS Central and have lost to Hendersonville and Tuscola in consecutive weeks. Pat, who you thinking here?
Fire up the diesel. Landon Pope, Pisgah.
Lewis.
Also, I'm going to pick Pisgah. I mean, North Henderson, they had a good run. The 0-2 the last 2 weeks, I think that shows a lot. Pisgah's definitely going to win this game.
I think North Henderson rebounds this week behind Parker Willis. They get the win. Carson.
Yeah, I think Pisgah, I just don't know if they're going to be physical enough. So I'm going to go with North Henderson at home winning.
So next up, we have Brevard at Franklin. Brevard 3-0, Franklin 3-1, 1-0 in the conference. Franklin a 15.5-point underdog. Of course, Brevard the number one team in the area. They're scoring 36 while giving up 12. Their three wins have come against all MAC teams, in fact. Reynolds, Irwin, and North Buncombe. Franklin, they're scoring 37 a game while giving up 16. They lost to Murphy, but beat Robbinsville, Swain, and East Henderson. Carson, what do you think here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, and it's not just because of Derek's Dirty Dozen and what he predicted, but I think Franklin's got some good things going on over there, and I think Franklin at home is...
And this is a Thursday night game.
It's Thursday night
game. It's going to be Western.
Short week. I think Franklin, it is at Western. I think Franklin does enough. I think this is, you know, they're going to try and watch that North Buncombe first half and see what North Buncombe did to contain some of those athletes, because... I think we can all agree that Brevard's got the superior athletes, but somehow North Buncombe did something right in the first half. But I think Franklin uses that blueprint and keeps it close. I think Brevard can win the game, but I got Franklin covering.
I think Brevard wins and covers. They're going to come out fired up after the first half against North Buncombe, and they're going to obliterate Franklin. Lewis?
You know, I think the smartest man in football that maybe some coaching staffs wish they had back is the correct guy, and Brevard's going to dominate this game.
What? Look, Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I've seen Brevard, obviously, and I agree with Mike. I think that the errant ways may have been more of Brevard not coming out against North Buncombe the way they wanted to because the way they closed out that game. And I think the coaching staff will address that this week, and they'll make a statement here. I think they're going to be able to get the win over Franklin at Western Carolina and cover.
Let's be honest. When you're dealing with 14- to 18-year-old kids, and they're playing North Buncombe, Inca, it's just hard to get ready for that game.
For sure. It's hard to keep the focus, right?
That's my opinion. Next up.
That'll be remedied this week, I think.
TC, 1-3 at South Caldwell, 2-2. South Caldwell is a 28.5-point underdog at home. TC, guys, they're only scoring 8 points a game while giving up 27. South Caldwell, 23 while giving up 36. Their wins are against West Caldwell, North Gaston. They lost to High Brighton and Tuscola. They have 10 rushers who average 190 yards a game. For South Caldwell, the leading rusher only rushes for 46, so they spread that thing around, and they only throw it for 113. Pat, you going to pick the homer? You going to go TC here to cover the 28.5?
TC is going to win this game, but South Caldwell is going to cover. So give me South Caldwell on the points.
TC and a landslide. TC gets trying to figure out. They're trying to find that running clock button.
I think TC also gets the running clock. Lewis?
I agree with you. South Caldwell's offense is just not producing enough, and TC is going to take advantage.
This is a get-right game for Robertson.
I think so,
too. I think next week, hopefully, that average of 8 points is a little bit higher, Mike.
8 points a game.
Yeah, that's... If we were playing baseball, it's like... That'd
be real good.
I mean, that'd be solid. It's like, they got a chance to win every game. Got to bring it back to baseball at some point, Lewis.
Next up, we have Inca, 1-3, traveling to McDowell, 2-1. McDowell, a 9.5-point favorite. Last year, this game ended in overtime. McDowell won 20-14 in overtime. This was also a conference game last year. Inca scoring 18 a game while giving up 29. McDowell scoring 31 a game while giving up 19. Their wins are against RS Central and Avery. They lost to Mitchell. They're led by their cornerback Danny Brown, 154 yards a game, 5 touchdowns and an interception, and running back Hunter Pittman, 79 yards a game and 4 touchdowns. Lewis, what do you think here?
You know, Carson, let's take it back to the diamond. The first time I seen Danny Brown on a field was the baseball diamond. And basically that game, he played 4 positions and dominated everywhere. And I also think McDowell's going to dominate this game, so I'm going to take them.
Pat.
Yeah. I want to think, you know, maybe the Jets will roll, you know, get some momentum going with that thing. The same time, I'm like, man, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to...
I can feel how torn you are.
I'm torn.
Just say what's on your heart.
So I'm going to go McDowell.
Okay. Go ahead.
So yeah. I think Irwin. I'm sorry. Inca. Yeah. I
Irwin. Think, of course. Irwin, yeah. If Mike thinks about a football team, oh, it's Irwin. It's Irwin.
Sure. It's like Irwin's winning this game. For sure, Mike. I think we all agree that Irwin's winning this football game.
I think Inca's rolling. They got the win last week. They're fired up. They pick up win number 2 this week.
You got Inca covering and winning?
Yeah.
I love
covering
it,
covering and winning.
It sounds like you're rolling a little something up over here.
Go ahead, Carson.
Yeah, I think, guys, we're forgetting who McDowell's football coach is.
He came from Asheville High.
Came from my boys. So I'm going to go with McDowell. I'm McDowell big here.
Okay.
That's what I'm pulling for.
That's one way to look at it. So two more. I should have mentioned Asheville, North Buncombe, Mount Heritage off this week.
Yeah.
So three. We're starting bye weeks now.
Well-earned bye weeks.
What's that?
Well-earned bye weeks.
Well-earned. Next up, Watauga. Traveling back to Buncombe County, their favorite place to play. They're 3-0, and they're traveling to Lester to take on Irwin, 1-3. Irwin got the win last week, but they're a 29.5-point underdog at home. They did not play last year. Irwin scored 21 a game while giving up 32. Watauga, they beat Ashe County, Robertson, and Mount Airy. They had a bye last week to get ready for Irwin. They're scoring 53 a game. Carson, you want to guess how many they're giving up a game?
Is it 8?
Lewis, you want to guess?
17.
Pat?
14.
Watauga's giving up 4 points a game.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay.
They're pretty good at defense.
Okay.
All right. These teams did not play last year. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Irwin is going to cover it this week.
Ooh.
Lewis.
You know, we know Watauga is a tough team year in, year out.
Number one team in the A2A.
They have to beat Irwin by 30 here to cover. I love Irwin. I love Rodney, but I'm going to pick Watauga.
Patrick?
Mike, I think I'm going to be with you on this one. I think that they are starting to figure some things out there in the void of Lawson Reynolds and Caden Ingle. And although I feel like Watauga will win this game, I think the Warriors are going to keep it within the spread. And I'd love to see Irwin win this game, obviously. That would be kind of cool to see.
But I also think that would be awesome to see.
But I'm going to take Irwin in the points.
Carson.
Yeah, I mean, they know we're pulling for Irwin. We are definitely pulling for Irwin. I just think
he's getting ready to pick Watauga.
Watauga is going to be too much here. Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't hope Rodney does not see that, but I'm going to pick Watauga.
Of course he's going to see that. They're going to put it up on their bulletin board. The big picture of
you. That's good. Get the boys fired up.
So next up, we have the 4-5 teams in the 8-8 poll. These teams did not play last year. This could be the game of the week. Reynolds, 2-2, traveling to Freedom, 4-0. This is a pick 'em. For Freedom, they beat Patton Avenue, Drawn, East Burke, and T.C. Robertson. They're scoring 49 a game while giving up 11. They rush it for 263 yards a game. Reynolds is scoring 22 a game while giving up 30. Pat, go ahead and pick Reynolds.
So I will pick Reynolds. I think the defense is going to be the difference maker in this game. I think that front defensive line is going to be able to slow down that running attack by Freedom. And I think Reynolds is going to be able to continue to figure out their offensive pieces and get things smoothed out. They have got to do a better job with not getting behind the sticks early on offense in order to get that done. And that's a lot of that's mental. And I'm sure they're going to work on that this week. If they can pull that out and they can knock off those types of mistakes, I think Reynolds will win this game.
Lewis.
I do not like how you've made me pick ahead of Carson like six of these picks.
Okay.
But no, that's fine.
You're going to pick Freedom anyway. Carson, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm picking Reynolds. So pick Reynolds.
Go ahead. Who do you want?
Come on, Lewis. Don't drop a game.
You know, listen, I mean, I just want to say this, and I held back the last time. I'm not going to hold back now.
No, you behave yourself, Lewis.
The fact that they were down to Murphy 14-0 just proves that everything I said in those clips we played was verified. Like, they're not ready for this season, but hey.
No, they were willing to fight back.
But hold on a minute. They did
fight. They stayed focused. They came back and won by a lot.
They won by 20.
I just want to say this. All Reynolds fans, I hope you enjoy the coaching staff you have now because they are undoubtedly the best coaching staff in Western North Carolina.
I would agree.
I'm sure you would, Pat.
Yeah.
I love what Freedom's doing, but I'm going to pick Reynolds this week.
Yeah.
But there is a time coming, and I cannot wait for it.
Because you don't want
to drop a game. I cannot wait.
Of course you would.
I cannot wait for this time that's coming.
Unfortunately for Freedom, I think Reynolds probably wins this game by 3 touchdowns. They're not going to be able to compete with Reynolds. Reynolds wins by a lot.
So
we all pick Reynolds.
We all pick Reynolds. Be a clean sweep.
The happiest day for Pat.
It's a great day for me. And it's a great day for Rocket Country.
Please do not let us down.
Indeed.
If they lay an egg, we're going to be mad.
If we curse them on the hall,
it will be the greatest thing I've done.
I won't be
week.
Mad. There'll be a good opportunity.
What an opportunity, though. I mean,
so we talked about, you know, we all went to some different games this week. One of our favorite things to do, if you look at us, is eat. So,
except for Carson.
Except for Carson. Carson, what's your favorite food at a football game?
I'd say favorite football food is definitely, I'm going to go with like a buffalo chicken dip.
Okay.
So, like a tailgating situation. It's in the football game, but buffalo chicken dip, or I would have to say Mike's Tacos is probably number one.
Ooh, definitely.
Mike's Tacos are unreal.
Anything Mike cooks and whatever the heck that thing is.
Yeah, that's tough not to pick, for sure.
Pat, go ahead.
So my favorite food at a ball game is the liquid form. It's called BWER.
Wait, what's that spell?
Beer?
Beer.
Wait, you like beer?
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know we were going that route.
Well, That's the case, I'm going that way.
I may change.
For me, it's nachos. I love nachos. But
I'm too cheesy for nachos.
Yeah. Pat, not a cheese guy, but I love nachos. I like them with cheese, chili, and jalapenos. Maybe a little barbecue on top of my nachos.
So you're creating a gastrointestinal bomb in your stomach, is what you're saying, like you proved earlier.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lewis. What do you like?
My favorite one is probably the Philly cheesesteak.
Ooh.
The old kitchen sink.
Indeed. Do they serve that at the ball game?
Well, not at Owen, but there are some establishments that sell a great one.
Yeah.
And I typically love to watch football and eat that.
Indeed.
Man, good times. It's going to be a good week of football. You guys ready?
I am.
I'm excited.
Pumped. I'll be at a bachelor party this weekend, so I'll need some updates.
Carson, how many high school games you been to this year?
Zero.
Zero.
What did we decide? Where are we going? We're going to a game, aren't we?
North Henderson.
Pisgah, that's where we're going. Pisgah North Henderson. That's right.
Lewis, where are you going?
I will be at the Owen Polk game.
Oh, okay. All right, Pat, wrap us up.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. Until next time and the next iteration of Behind the Beard WNC, we're out of here.